Station FM teachers en la mayor área de Portland. Su preparación de la demostración de la mañana ahora comienza.
I predict that politics will make stranger bedfellows than ever before. I fearlessly predict that the once politically inactive South will rise again in no uncertain terms. I predict that every vote south of the Mason-Dixon line could easily be conservative. I predict there will be two political parties in America. One will be the Conservative Party and the other will be the Liberal Party. There will be a clean-cut division which no one could conscientiously cross over. This startling trend will become most apparent before the next election, and you will join heartily in this stand whether you want to or not. Now, don't say you won't, because I predict you will.
How I can actually imitate my own promo. I should do that all day long.
Hello.
It's 2 minutes and 13 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of February in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio, or as it is also referred to,
Station FM teachers en la mayor área de Portland. Preparation de la demostración de la mañana ahora comienza.
The best part is that it's Aaron. I know that we said that, we did something like 100 times when we first played that. I'm just going to make him run everything he does through a harmonizer. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It is Wednesday and welcome to day 12, where we will spend the rest of our lives. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like with your comments, your complaints, your clarifications, your confessions, your 2 cents, or what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Someone's calling the warm line, Sarah. Shall I answer it unscreen and see what hilarity results?
No, I told Scotty. It's CNN calling to see if we get Brian Blank today.
I'm not really interested in... I mean, I am interested in Brian Blank. I'm more interested in my new best friend, Rachel McGrath, who I don't know anything about. Based solely on her name, it is my experience that there are no unattractive Rachels. All girls named Rachel are hot. Just like all girls named Marissa are sluts. That's a scientific fact. Whale's vagina. It's 503-733-2970. It's your fault for putting that movie back in my head yesterday. 503.
It's the greatest movie ever.
It really is. And you know what? I know that our Will Ferrell dynamic is well established on the show, but I just didn't think I could like him in anything he did. And I almost don't even want to see. I don't think I've seen Will Ferrell in anything since then. I almost don't want to. I don't want to taint it. I don't want to tarnish this special thing, this special relationship that Will Ferrell and I have going since he made Anchorman. I am going to see Strange in a Fiction at some point. And then he'll do the obligatory serious film where he plays a guy with a drinking problem who smashes a window and cries in the rain about his dad.
No, see, I don't think he's like that. I don't think he's going to do that. He would have done it by now.
No, they all do. They all end up like Bill Murray. They do The Razor's Edge, or Chevy Chase does some serious piece of crap film where he ends up being...
Or like Ben Stiller in Permanent Midnight.
Totally. Boy, what a terrible film that is. Decent book, terrible film. Why Ben Stiller can't really act. Doesn't Ben Stiller just seem like a guy? Ben Stiller really does seem like, what's her name, Lindsay on Arrested Development. Doesn't actually have any real emotions, but just sort of has, like he has a chart. Like one of those Arthur Murray dance school charts, like to do the Lindy Hop, where you're like, five, left, one, and back, two, five. And that's how Ben Stiller learns to act. That's how he cries. Which is weird, because his dad is a funny guy. And then Ben Stiller's just like, he's got this weird automaton of an actor. Well, in any event, it's 503-733, I'm not going to get distracted. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email, it's rick@rickemerson.com. What is this? I also have this other Criswell sound. This is from Aaron. This is for Tim, whenever he makes announcements about the future. Well, hold on, let me play this here.
I predict every able-bodied man in America will be asked to contribute to a sperm bank.
Thank you. That's a little busy. We'll play that later on.
I kind of like that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's go to... Okay, when we go to Tim the first time, we'll go to him with that.
In fact, we need to make that music his news.
No, we'll do that, yeah. When we go to your first news break, maybe we'll do an extra news break this hour sometime just so we can test that out. Sort of an exhibition game of news. Yeah, we'll go to the Ministry of Truth sometime this hour so we can test out the new sounder. We can morph that with the existing one. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970 or rickandrickemerson.com. Coming up on today's program, here is what we have. We're going to be talking to our good friend Mr. Skin today at 1:30 or so. It's going to be part of a new weekly feature we're going to have on the show, a recurring feature on the Rick Emerson radio program. I want to say everything in Spanish now, but I can't. I have a Klingon open, too, that we haven't... I'm going to say that I have a Klingon opening. I have a Klingon open to this program that I was going to play 2 weeks ago, and then I didn't. And I got behind, and then we had the studio move, and then I had a nervous breakdown, and then nothing worked. So I haven't played it yet, but we'll get to that maybe tomorrow. But a new recurring feature on the Rick Emerson program is going to be an appearance by Mr. Skin. That's going to be coming up today at 1:30. He's going to talk about the new DVD and theatrical releases. It's going to be DVDs and movies coming to the theater where you can see chicks nude. So he'll be talking about that. I heard him on Likas the other day, actually. I think last Thursday or something he was talking about that. So Mr. Skin today, it's 1:35 or so. Coming up later on in today's program, because we recently celebrated the birthday of Malcolm Young from AC/DC, we will be counting down the top five AC/DC songs that they never play on the radio but ought to. So there's essentially the No Highway to Hell, No Back in Black list. The top five AC/DC songs they ought to play on the radio but don't. We've got Monster Jam tickets to give away. And they sure to be putting out those. We have tickets to Monster Jam, which is happening this weekend at the Rose Garden, February 9th, 10th, and 11th, featuring, Gravedigger, Bulldozer, The Patriot, Tropical Thunder, Obsession, and By Mart. So that's happening this weekend. So we've got tickets to that, and then we've got, what the hell else? Oh, we saw these Farce of the Penguins DVDs. Here's how we're going to be giving away, we're going to kill two birds with one stone here. Here's how we're going to be giving away... Seriously, what are you eating over there?
Goldfish crackers.
That's the loudest crunching I've ever heard in my life.
Sorry.
It actually is kind of impressive. That makes me value these microphones even more, that they have such clarity. Do that again. Okay.
I have to eat two at a time. I'm weird.
That's amazing.
I can't hear it. Is it loud?
Do you have to eat all your foods in even numbers? What if they're just...
Yeah.
Is that just snack foods? What if it's like fish sticks?
It's like if I eat M&M's or peanuts or anything, like, small.
Is it any handheld finger food?
Actually, yes. If I have, like, chicken nuggets, I have to have an even number of them. I'm a freak.
An even number on the plate, or you have to eat an even number at one time? Like, you eat two at a time?
On the plate. No, I don't eat them two at a time, but I have to have an even number on the plate.
So if you have a whole pan of chicken
don't
nuggets...
Don't find out my freakiness.
Oh, like, I don't have my own. If you have a whole pan of chicken nuggets, let's say... Now, let me ask you this. I don't even care what we're doing on the program today. I'm going to put a pin in it. We're going to sidetrack, and we're going to talk about Sarah Dillon's insanity. Because I'm tired of talking about my insanity. So somebody else's turn to be nutty. God damn it. All right. So if you go to... Do you cook your own chicken nuggets at home, like out of a box sometimes?
Yes, when I used to have an oven before my roommate decided to find one on the street and pick out the old one that worked and plug it in. And now I don't have one.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why would you get...
I don't know. He found a free stove, and he thought it would be a good idea to, like, clean it all day, and decided to take out the working stove and then replace the working stove with this random other stove, so now only the burners work, and we don't have an oven.
Did he ask? Did at any point Manuel ask why the stove would be on the street if it worked?
I don't know.
Did he not think that far ahead? Was there, like, I think I'm detecting the missing link in his plan. Well, in any event, so back when you had a stove and could cook chicken nuggets, so if you had a big frozen box of chicken nuggets, you take out the pan, you dump the chicken nuggets on the pan, do you count them on the pan? In other words, do you have to cook an even amount? Or could you cook any amount of chicken nuggets, but when you go to eat them, you have to put an even number of nuggets on your plate? At which stage does the even craze kick in?
I'll cook all of them, but I do have to put an even number on my plate.
And so you have to put, let's say, 10 on your plate. Now, does that mean that if you are full at 9, you have to eat the 10th one? Like, can you leave one behind on the plate?
Yeah, I can leave one behind, but I have to start with an even number.
You can't serve yourself.
We don't need to talk about this.
So chicken nuggets, is it with any... Like, what about like a canapé or like an hors d'oeuvre?
Mm.
Like, you're at a party somewhere and a guy comes over to his house.
No,
you like a canapé. Okay, so if it's not something...
It's like a lot of smaller snack foods. Like, I have to have...
If I come... Let me ask you this. This is a great new segment on the. This could be a fantastic new segment on the Rick Emerson program.
Can we, there's a freak.
Drop the bed for just a second. We'll just do this.
I predict every able-bodied man in America will
test out this bed for this.
To a sperm bag.
It's How Crazy Is Sarah Dillon?
Oh, whatever. Don't put it on me.
No, this is fantastic.
You're crazier than I am.
Okay, so what if we're at a party? And you and I
it's
are at a party.
It's not a party thing. It's just a thing. Like, if I'm eating small foods like this.
Now, you haven't heard the question yet, though. This is another exciting segment of How Crazy Is Sarah Dillon?
You're such an ass.
Listen to this bed, though. Tell me this bed doesn't work for all occasions. This is music for all purposes. All right. So if we're at a party, and a guy comes by with a bowl of M&M's. Not that that happens, but if it did. A guy comes by with a bowl of, let's say, green and red M&M's, because it's a Christmas party. And he says, M&M, man? And you reach in. Do you have to take an odd number of, or an even number of M&M's? Do you have to take an even number of M&M's? Or could you take a whole handful, but you just have to eat
I'd eat them 2 by 2, and if there was one left, I would have to go and get another one.
Is that true?
Yes.
Could you throw the leftover one away?
You're making it sound weirder than it is.
I don't really think that's true. I think I'm making it sound exactly as weird as it is. If you reach for the bowl...
I just like to have it evenly balanced in my mouth. I like to have one on either side.
Is this because... Okay, so I should be a shrink. It's all coming to me right now. I really ought to be a shrink. Don't you think?
No.
Why are you saying that? Hey, Ted Haggard can be a psychologist, and that guy's insane. And a meth addict. All right, so... Is this because Sarah Dillon?
I predict that the undersea bottom
is this music is fantastic. Waiting for Christopher to stop talking. Is this Sarah Dillon because of an irrational childhood fear of grinding your teeth down on one side and not the other?
No, I've never had a fear of grinding my teeth.
Are you sure about that?
I'm
because a
positive.
Lot of that is a common fear or belief among kids. It's like when you're a little kid, sometimes like they're very little kids who think that they're going to go down the drain in the bathtub, and that's why Mr. Rogers did that whole thing about how you won't go down the drain. There are a lot of kids. I thought this at one point actually that if I only chewed my food on one side of my mouth, because I chew my food on the right side of my mouth typically, I was afraid that I would wear down my teeth on that side when I was a kid, because the dentist they beat it into your head to take care
so
of
you're
your
teeth. Taking your irrational belief and thrusting it onto me.
I no longer believe that. I'm a 34
sure.
year old. Man.
I'm sure you don't.
I no longer believe in that.
It's in your
hands. Anyway, this has been another exciting segment of How Crazy Is Sarah Dillon? It's 503-733-2970.
That's just mean. I don't make fun of you.
I want you to look at this. Look at all these calls. People want to know exactly how crazy you are, Sarah.
That is such a mean way to word it. I have a thing.
Yeah. Thing. All right. I haven't even gotten to tease anything yet. And I got all this crap to tease today. All right. Well, you see, the Matrix can't be... I mean, the Matrix can't contain the genius sometimes, sir. Is it with liquids, too, or is it only solid food? Do you have anything with liquids?
No.
All right.
No, but I have a problem with hard candies.
Really?
I feel like I'm going to choke, so I can't...
So you can't eat hard candy like a Starlight Mint?
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. You're missing out. All right.
Well, sometimes I can, but then I start overthinking it, and then I become a freak, and I have to spit it out.
All right. Let me just tease, and then we'll take these calls, because they really are
really
fascinating.
I really don't need to take the calls.
I'm looking at the screen. These calls are brilliant. You'll want to hear these. Anyway, so Mr. Skin's going to be with us today at 1:30, we'll talk about the upcoming DVD releases and theatrical releases that feature Hot Chicks Nude. Top 5 AC/DC songs you should hear on the radio, but don't. Monster Jam tickets. Here's how we're going to give away Monster Jam tickets today. This is the point at which your goldfish crunching interrupted me earlier. Here's how we're going to be giving away Monster Jam tickets. We would like now you to email then to me. Weirdest syntax ever. Please now then to be emailing me your questions for Scotty J's The Suburban Perspective. And today the best question for Scotty J's Suburban Perspective will get a pair of tickets to Monster Jam this weekend at the Rose Garden. That is rick@rickemerson.com. And please put Suburban Perspective in the subject line. rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Email me your question for Scotty J's Suburban Perspective, and today the best emailed question won a pair of tickets to the Monster Jam car-crushing spectaculars this weekend at the Rose Garden. What else? Farce of the Penguin DVDs. We'll talk to CNN Radio. Believe it or not, I swear to God this is true. We will be talking to CNN radio correspondent Brian Blank about the new Harry Potter book, which is great. Lisa Goddard, and this is true as well, and it sounds like it shouldn't be, but it is. Lisa Goddard, I swear to Christ, is going to be talking about big pallets full of cash that we've been sending to Iraq, and we don't know where they're going. What else? Oh, and then we've got some new girl from CNN. Her name is Rachel McGrath.
Ooh, Rachel McGrath.
I don't even care what she's talking about. Rachel McGrath just sounds hot. Rachels are always hot. You know who else? Well, no, that's not true. I was going to say that Stephanies are always hot. That's not really, that's not always true. Stephanies are quite frequently. Rachels, I don't think I've ever met an unattractive Rachel. Anyway.
Do you think Rachel Dratch on Saturday Night Live is cute?
I'm not really the shallow. What?
Do you think Rachel Dratch?
I'm not sure that I know who. Dratch? Is that a real name?
Uh-huh. And she's on Saturday Night Live.
Doesn't Dratch sound like the name of a villain in some... you there, Dratch! You know, and Dratch would be like... That's like Draco Malfoy's companion. He's like with Crabbe and Goyle. Crabbe and Goyle and their headmaster, Dratch. Let's see, what else? That astronaut story just continues to be the biggest thing ever. And worst corpse watch you've ever heard. Because it contains the phrase, would fondle them for hours on end. Yeah, good times. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely, talented, and somewhat insane Sarah Dillon.
You know, I just got an email from Aaron.
Uh-huh.
He has a freaky thing, too. He just told me he has to color-code his snack foods so that his final bite contains at least one of each color originally found in the container.
Really? Like, with I don't understand. Like, what? Okay, like M&M's, I would get that. With M&M's, I can see that, because your final bite has to have a yellow and a green and a blue and a red and a whatever. But with other... I don't even understand, like, another example of that. How many snack foods are really multicolored when you think about it? Unless it's a candy.
Yeah.
Tim Riley's work... Oh, wait, hold on. Well, we'll do, like, a supplemental news bit, and I'll use the Criswell thing there. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today. It's more of the wrong stuff and a space oddity as their lovesick astronaut story sweeps the country.
Fantastic.
Ralph Nader leaves the door open to Running in 08 and will appear in Portland to promote a book on child rearing, even though he has no children. A Vancouver man pleads guilty to faking retardation. And Nicole Richie is panic-stricken over the possibility of jail time.
Fantastic. Oh, how great would that be? If somebody used her as a toothpick. Oh, that'd be satisfying. Well, it's not going to happen, but we can dream, can't we? All right. It's 503-733-2970. Sarah Dillon, for those who are keeping track, a bicycle for the third day in a row today. Rick Emerson?
Rick, I'm telling you, it gets easier every day.
I know. But, man, you know, it's just today, actually, my fatigue from bicycling on Mount Tabor is kicking in. Because I did that Sunday afternoon, and it's like I wasn't in pain Monday, and yesterday, but today, man, I wake up, and I'm just all... I got that whole the cumulative fatigue going on. It's just a couple days. What?
That's just sad. You're blaming it on working out 3 days ago.
Once. Working out once on this weekend. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Well, I'll just take these in no particular order. The question is, how crazy is Sarah Dillon? Ryan, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
I eat pretty much snack foods exactly the same way as Sarah does.
Now,
really?
Like goldfish, two at a time, you know, but I don't have to have, like if I have one left, I'll bite it in half.
So you will actually create an even number of snack foods if there's only an odd number left.
Yes, but see, I'm also weird in the fact that when I put the two in my mouth, I eat one on each side of the mouth.
Well, she does that, too. So, like, if you're eating two goldfish crackers, Sarah, you put one on each side of your mouth.
I do.
All right. So, you know, it's a... Yes. Yes, you're right. Scotty's typing that you... Look, Sarah, it's your ideal man, types Scotty on the screen. So if you only have one cracker left, you will snap it in half or otherwise break it in half and then chew it on both sides of your mouth as though it were two crackers.
As equally as possible, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right.
See?
But then, like, Aaron's multi-color candy-like thing...
Yeah, that's just weird.
Well, no, I do that, too. With Mike and Ike's, I have to have at least one bite that has all five flavors.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, again,
So you put all five of them in your mouth?
Yes.
But only once. Huh. You only have to do that once during the package?
Well, I mean, I choose to do it more than once, but I have to at least do it once.
If you have to do... Let me ask you this.
This is fascinating. It really is. Okay, here's the thing. We don't have time to do a lot of this here because we got to get underway with Lisa Goddard, but maybe at 11:45 after Lisa, or maybe like at 1, we should do more. Because
we'll do Brian Blank first, shall we?
Plumb some of this, or whoever it is, you know, 11:45. Really, I do want to explore this a little bit because this really is great. Let me ask you this. So you're eating Mike and Ike's. You've got to have at least one bite that has all five colors. Does it matter where the bite comes? In other words, could it be at the beginning of the package, at the end of the package, somewhere in the middle? Does it matter?
Not really, but it's usually towards the end.
All right. That's interesting. All right. Thank you, Ryan.
No problem.
All right, there you go. That's Ryan, who is equally crazy. Let's see. Let's find out how crazy Ron is. Ron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, it's not that I'm so crazy. I was just wondering on her craziness with the M&Ms. You were saying, like, red and green ones. Does that mean she had to have equal number of red and equal number of green?
No, the color doesn't bother me.
Strictly in numeric.
It's numerical.
Yeah, strictly the total number of pieces, sir.
Okay.
I knew that. All right. Thank you. There you go. See, you're learning more about yourself, Sarah.
Thanks, sir.
Let's see. Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Hey,
hi.
Sarah.
What's
hello.
Up?
I have the exact same problem. I have to eat small food in pairs like M&M's and Skittles, and I color code them. And Skittles even have to flavor code them.
Now, give me an example when you say flavor code. What do you mean?
For, like, Skittles.
Right.
You have to have, like, two reds, because red is the same flavor, and two purples and two greens. Because you can't mix a red and a purple because it's, like, strawberry and grape. It doesn't go together.
Now, are there any flavors that you feel go together, or do they all have to be paired equally?
Well, if I'm down to the end and I've only got kind of one of each one, I'll pair up, like, all the citrus ones and then whatever one's left over.
So you actually have a sort of, you have a sort of a process of elimination. You have a flow chart in your head of how to color code these things.
Yeah, basically. But M&Ms always have to be in color pairs.
All right. And so if you get to the end of the package and there's only one M&M, what happens?
I kind of freak out, but I eat it anyway.
Okay, but you eat it, but you don't feel good about it.
Oh, no.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
All right, bye.
All right, there you go.
Bye, Nick.
See? Do you feel better about yourself or worse about the world in general?
Well, it's not changing. It's something that I've always done that I will always do.
Well,
but thanks for pointing it out.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to ask I forgot to ask the Mike and Ike guy when he noticed that about himself, that he had to eat all five.
It's not even an obsessive. It's just one of those things that you do. You know, like when you jump over cracks inside,
right.
You know, on the sidewalk and stuff. It's just one of those things that I always do.
But it's not an obsession. Well, it is. It's a low-grade obsession. It's like you'd live if you couldn't do it, but you would be uncomfortable.
No, it wouldn't even be uncomfortable. It's just,
that's not true. I bet it would make you uncomfortable. Not in the way that, like, you couldn't function. But I bet...
No.
I bet if you did that, I bet you would feel ever so slightly off-kilter. Later on, I'm going to make you eat, like, three Goldfish crackers at once.
Rick, it won't bother me.
I'm not saying that, like, you'll descend into a pile of gibbering
food. I prefer
to
eat them in twos. I'll eat them one at a time.
All right. We'll see.
I think you're trying to make me crazier to make yourself feel better.
I'm not trying to make you crazy. It is interesting. Now, admittedly, you're not as crazy as some of the people we just talked to. Like the guy who, I mean, no offense, we all have our craziness. That guy, what's it, Nick, who has that whole flow chart about it. First it's citrus, and then or it's colored.
What about you? You're obsessive compulsive. You can't have any speck of anything around you anywhere. You have to pick up everything around you.
That is true.
It is the freakiest thing. You lick your finger, and you have to pick up every little thing that's around.
I do pick up tiny little individual specks of dust.
For no reason.
Not for no reason. They drive me crazy.
it's so gross, because you, like, touch your mouth and, like... Definitely.
And, you know, the grossest thing is I will touch my finger and then daub up specks of dust on the desk that are irritating me. And then the worst part is if I don't have any Purell, eventually I'll see a speck of dust and that finger's got to go back in my mouth at some point. So I got to make sure to use another finger to pick up the next speck. I really do sound crazy.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello, Mr. Hughes. I'm glad to meet you. Don't touch me. What about the spruce goose you're building? Okay. Let's get one here and then we'll break. Adam. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
Yeah, actually, my question was about the suburban perspective today.
All right, now, what is your question?
Well, can I ask a question or do I really have to email? Because I drive a service truck.
Well, it makes it difficult. I guess it only makes it difficult for Scotty. Because here's the deal. The best question for the suburban perspective today will be asked, and then you will also win a pair of tickets to Monster Jam at the Rose Garden. I would prefer that people email these questions because it makes it easier to track, and it's less work for everybody. But, you know, go ahead. Submit your question here just so people can get the idea.
All right, quick question. What's his perspective on that big old Isolor Boondoggle, known as the aerial tram for OHSU.
Scotty and Tram. Tram. All right, Adam, we may or may not use that, so I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty will get your phone number, and if we end up using your question, you'll win a pair of tickets to Monster Jam.
You will, Rick.
Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Adam. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brian Blank from CNN about Harry Potter. Later on at noon, the AM 970 New News Hour with Tim Riley. We have Rachel McGrath, who's going to come up later on. Lisa Goddard as well. Mr. Skin at 1:30, the top five AC/DC songs you never hear, Monster Jam tickets, release pack. So we got to take a break here. We're back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Set
up. Gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they gonna give you a smirk, cause they got methods of keeping you clean. They gonna rip up your head, your aspirations to spread. Another cog in the murder machine. They said I'm awful names at the stick. You're never gonna fit in much, kid. But if you're troubled and hurt, what you got under your shirt will make them pay for the things that they did. They said I'll be
Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. My Chemical Romance. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Email your questions for today's Scotty J, the Suburban Perspective. And the best Suburban Perspective question today, by the way, wins a pair of tickets to Monster Jam happening this weekend at the Rose Garden. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up at noon, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Mr. Skin's going to talk about theatrical and DVD releases featuring the hot young nubile actresses. We have CNN radio correspondent Lisa. Lisa, I did that again yesterday.
What is going on with
I
you?
Did that yesterday when I said Melissa Etheridge. My brother dated a girl named Letha. You want to talk about a girl that you just know is trash from the very first time you hear her
name?
What's
her name?
Letha. L-E-E-T-H-A.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes. Yeah, you can picture it, can't you? Like a little fringy buckskin kind of white leatherette jacket and you know, blonde hair, black roots. 503-733-2970. Is this Brian Blank? Do we have music for Brian?
I don't think so.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can find something here. Let me go ahead and this is, we'll just, this will be Brian Blank's music. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. Let's welcome now.
Bicep Stiff is next. Pull a chair.
I'm just going to turn that off.
Yeah.
CNN Radio correspondent Brian Blank. Hello, sir.
How are you guys?
I'm rolling, brother man. What's up with you?
Hey, Sarah. You know, it's cold out in New York. I imagine it's probably what it's like in Portland now.
Absolutely. Are you in New York? It says you're in Atlanta.
No. Oh, I don't know why it said that. I think that was a misprint.
It's always good when CNN, the world's premier news gathering organization, can't quite keep track of where its own anchors are.
Yeah, well, you know, facts. They kind of get in the way.
Hey, is it true that you're Sarah Dillon's MySpace friend now?
Yes, it is. That's right. We're
Brian Blank and I have written back and forth. I actually sent you a message today, Brian Blank.
I thought you were taking your MySpace page down. I thought it was a thing you had tired of.
Maybe it doesn't want to be your friend.
It's slowly going down. Yeah, maybe that's just something I said to you.
Friend request denied. All right. Well, let's talk about Harry Potter. And here's the thing is, I'm unashamed. I'm unembarrassed. I don't care who knows it. Everybody knows that I'm a colossal geek. And that all of us on the Rick Emerson program are nerds in one form or another. But Sarah and I are big Harry Potter fans. As are huge swaths of humanity. I mean, this is... When does this book come out? I heard it was going to be 7/7/07, but that's not the case anymore, right? It's July something, July 21st?
Right, July 21st is when the seventh and last of the books come out.
And I mean, this year. I mean, which is weird.
Oh,
because
my God.
I mean, it's
still 5 months away.
That's so exciting. I thought we were going to have to wait another year or so.
So did I. And I thought they were just going to drag it out, just milk it as long as. And here's the thing is, you know that they will get. The fact that the seventh and final Harry Potter book is coming out, the chance of that they're going to make money off this for the next 100 years because they're going to do endless repackages. They're just like the Chronicles of Narnia and the Lord of the Rings and all of that stuff. But
sure. And you know what? They're kind of generating buzz, which is what the story today is all about. The author basically posted something on her page yesterday saying, hey, you know what? The seventh book is coming out. It's my favorite of the books.
Uh-huh.
She even quoted Charles Dickens in it, just kind of, and how she feels about having to get rid of all these characters and kind of, you know, take them out of her mind after 17 years.
I mean, the authors are like rock bands, though. Whatever the new project is always the best thing they've ever done. Every time you see a band interviewed about whatever album they've got coming out, it's always like the heaviest record they've ever done, the best record they've ever done. It's like their first album all over again. It's what the band is all about, blah, blah, blah. So maybe it'll live up to it. Maybe it won't. But the thing about this Harry Potter book is that my recollection is that she has had the final chapter of this final Harry Potter book written for like 10 years. She, at the very beginning, when she started writing this series, that she wrote the final chapter as one of the very first things. And that was like her whole thing. It was like a psychological sort of carrot that she gave herself to always be writing towards. That she was always writing toward this one ending.
Yeah. Straight from the beginning, she's had kind of the idea of how things would end exactly in her mind. And so one of the things that she says is getting to the end of it now and getting everything to match up kind of perfectly to that perfect end spot, which she says is just a magical moment for her.
Now, how many of these, this is a dumb question, but how many, I mean, it's clearly millions and millions upon millions, but how many of these Harry Potter books have they sold so far?
Oh, that's a good question. You mean over the whole series?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's six of them out. I mean, look, I hate people and gatherings and places, and I don't stand in line for anything, but I've stood in line three different times now at midnight to buy copies of a Harry Potter book. So
are you going to be standing in line for this last one?
You're damn straight. You know why? Here's why. I'm going to stand in line, A, because it's a feeling of geek solidarity, and those things are few and far between in this world. In a post Star Wars Episode III generation, there's not a lot for geeks to stand in line for right now. B, I really got nothing else going on in my life. And C, you know that 5 minutes after the book comes out, some a-hole is going to start wandering around the streets with a T-shirt on it saying, like, Harry dies on page 50. You know, whatever. And that's it. So I'm going to have to buy this, go home, lock myself in some hyperbaric isolation sensory deprivation chamber and get the book read before some jackhole decides to go on the Internet and ruin everything.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I talked to this guy. You probably like him. He put together this website called the Harry Potter Lexicon.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a librarian somewhere in Michigan. Well, anyway, I talked to him today about this and what it was like, and he said something that was pretty insightful. It was this moment, waiting for this last book. I mean, this is going to be the last time that Harry Potter fans have something like this, where there is an unknown that we're waiting for. After this, I mean, yeah, the movies are going to come out, but people are going to know how the story ends. Anyone who picked up the series after July, you know, that ending has already been written and it's already out there. This is the last kind of element of mystery that's going to remain in this whole series.
No, it is true. I try to be very aware because I am sort of a pop culture historian, and I am not, you know, I'm religiously an agnostic, but I mean, a bit pop culture is sort of the closest thing I have to something that I sort of follow, and it's just sort of, you know, is a big part of my life, and so I think about stuff like this a lot. I always try to be conscious of when I'm inside a pop culture moment, and you know, because a lot of those things, I think, you know, because I wasn't around for Elvis, and I wasn't around for the Beatles, I wasn't around for Elliot Ness, or any of those things that happened in real life. You know, I only kind of see the television representations of them. So I always try to be really conscious of when I'm in a pop culture moment, and this is one of those things. You're right, because, you know, 100 years from now, people are going to be reading those books, but to recognize that when you are in one of those moments as it's happening is pretty great. Also, you're totally correct when you talk about how it's the last time this is going to happen. I remember having that sensation at Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, a couple years ago, and thinking that this is, you know, because the first one came out in 77, and thinking, well, you know, it's been 28 years or something at that time, that this was the last time we were ever going to stand in line for a new Star Wars film, ever. It was never, for good or bad, it was never going to happen again. And that's, you know, that's a pretty weird thing to wrap your brain around sometimes.
So. It is, and it's kind of fun, too. When you look, and I haven't read all the Harry Potter books, but when you look at this series, and I mean, is there anything else out there on the horizon you think is going to be even close to something like this?
No, and they keep trying to do it. Every time something like the Harry Potter book comes out, they try to, like those Aragon books came out, and there's a bunch of, you know, they always try to do a bunch of knockoffs, but they never hold up to the real, you know, to the real thing. So, all right.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
All right, July 21st. Can you order it now?
You can. In fact, it's been number one and number two on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble's bestsellers list.
Fantastic. I just got to say, at the risk of sounding cheesy and corny about it, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if people make fun. I don't care if people want to laugh or snicker or whatever. You know what? The idea that in 2007 you can get in just a country that just seems to be growing stupider by the goddamn second, the idea that you can get a bunch of kids to stand in line at night and midnight to read an 800-page book with no pictures in it is pretty impressive to me.
Hey, you know what? That deluxe version of that book, $65 is how much it costs, too. It's already selling out.
How long is the book? Do we know?
I don't know that.
All right, because I'm all about quantity. She can make 1,000 pages long. I don't care. All right, see you. Hey, let me ask you this before we let you go. What do you know about a woman named Rachel McGrath, who apparently works for CNN in Los Angeles? Are you familiar with Rachel McGrath in any way?
I know that she's a reporter. I've heard a couple of her stories, but that's about it.
Is she? Because I've never heard of her, and her name has never come across our transom until today when Jim Roop is inexplicably gone. And it says, blah, 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 Rachel McGrath, available from Los Angeles. So I don't like to walk into these things blind. I have a certain reputation to uphold, Brian.
Well, you know, give her a call. I'm sure she's perfectly pleasant to deal with.
Well, no, we're going
to
have her on. I just, you know, before I start making somebody awkward and uncomfortable, I like to know what I'm dealing with. So, all right, excellent. Brian Blank, thank you, sir. CNN radio correspondent in New York. We will talk to you soon, my brother.
Thank you, as always, Rick.
Thank you. There you go. Brian Blank, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
I just love that guy.
He is fantastic. Let's see. I'm getting all of these. I don't know how to deal with these suburban perspective questions. I'm not sure if we should talk about these on the air and then pick one, or if I should pick one off the air without revealing it and then spring it on him. I just don't know what to do. So get your questions for Scotty J's suburban perspective to rick@rickemerson.com, and then the best question, the question we select for today, will win a pair of tickets to Monster Jam, which is happening at the Rose Garden this weekend, and at which Sarah Dillon will be present.
I just got my ticket.
Did you score your tickets from Becca?
I did.
Fantastic.
I think it sounds interesting.
I can't believe you've never been to a monster truck rally. That's part of the American experience.
I told you I went to one.
Oh, that's right, with Ben Gibbard.
Yeah, in Bremerton.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned that to Laura, by the way. I shouldn't say this because I got in trouble last night for this, because we went goddamn bowling.
Oh, it was couples bowling night.
Which is fun. I mean, can we just count, let's just count the number of ways in which I've just become a domesticated nitwit. So I'm doing
downward spiral.
Have you started scrapbooking yet?
I love you, hon.
What? No. That'll be next. No, here's the thing. So I'm now going couples.
Not you, Laura, Rick.
I'm going couples bowling. She's become enamored of the knitting that all the girls are into these days. And the thing is, you got to be careful with whatever you say, because whatever.
I'm not saying anything.
I saw you roll your eyes.
I did not roll my eyes. I'm looking at a really bad picture of Britney Spears.
And I got to say that
I love your wife.
I'm only making this up.
Don't put me in a weird position.
I'm not putting you in a weird position. I'm just saying, before you make any comments about any of the things I'm engaged in, you got to be really careful, because there are other people. For example, in this case, Aaron. Because Aaron and Jen have become... Laura and I are these weird mirror versions of Aaron and Jen lately, because Jen and Laura are doing... Like, Jen and Laura have got this, like, this weird Wilma and Betty relationship going on. We're, like, doing all this stuff together. And not that I don't enjoy spending time with Aaron and or Jen, but it is just one of those things that I never in my wildest imaginings thought that I would be doing. You know what I mean? That I'm out there doing a couples bowling night, and then, like, because Jen had to come bowl because there was, like, some chick was on vacation somewhere, couldn't do it, so Jen comes along. So I'm doing couples bowling, Aaron is there, And then in between frames, my wife and his wife are talking about the knitting circle they're going to be going to on Wednesday. And at a certain point, you just start, like, things just start to get a little fuzzy, and you just start, where am I? What? It's 1957. Who am I? Why am I here? It's just, it's all very. And I've got a poodle. It just doesn't.
Well, you're getting to that age where I guess you should start growing up a bit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're not getting any younger, Rick. What was that guy? What was it the guy at the bike shop said to me? Because I went in because I had to have my bike fitted because I was getting like the forearm kind of ache when I was bicycling. He's like, well, you're not getting any younger, son. Rick, are the Monster Jam tickets you're giving away for the whole seat or just the edge? All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. No, so we were out last night in the car, and I had mentioned it was the worst scenario, and you all know what this is like. Especially if you work in radio, you know what this is like, and Sarah knows what this is like, especially where she did, Lara didn't hear yesterday's program, but she like heard about it from someone. Which is always a lot of fun when the person you're with sort of, they hear about the show third hand.
I've had that too, and it's always kind of misconstrued, and it's not what happened.
Always. And so on the program yesterday, we were talking about Death Cab for Cutie, and you had made the observation that you as a, when was this? How long ago was this that you went to the monster truck rally with Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie?
It's probably like in, like 6th or 7th grade.
So you would have been like 11?
It was when I was living in Seattle.
So like 91.
I came across the water and went to Bremerton.
All right. Yeah, so I had made this sort of joking observation on the program yesterday that Lara's a big Death Cab for Cutie fan. It's like, we got a big Death Cab for Cutie thing hanging in the living room, and like that's her ringtone, and it's on her iPod, and she's got like Death Cab for Cutie shirts and tampons and whatever it is that they sell. Just like everything she owns. And I had made this joking observation that because Ben Gibbard is her secret boyfriend and writes all of those songs just for her, implying that she was a little crazy, which I said is just sort of a gag. And so then we're in the car, we're driving along, and there's that silence, and you can tell that a statement's coming. And when you've been with someone romantically for long enough, you can tell when there's a silence that is pregnant. You know what I mean? You can tell when there's a silence from which a statement is about to emanate. And we're driving along in the car. And I'm kind of sitting there staring out the window, and she's sort of like gripping the wheel, driving straight ahead, and then there's a long, lingering pause, and then so I hear that I'm crazy. And I said, why, whatever do you mean? So I hear that I'm secretly in love with Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie, and I think he writes songs for me. And I'm all, and immediately
I'm
doing,
I know, that was just mean. You're over the top.
I'm tap dancing, and I'm like, no, baby, you don't, it was all a gag, honey. No, but the best part is this. So I said, no, it was all a gag. Rick Emerson was just having a little bit of fun with your love for Death Cab for Cutie. And then I said this. I waited about 10 seconds, and this was just malicious on my part. I waited about 10 seconds, and then I said, you know, Sarah went to a monster truck rally with Ben Gibbard one time. And then she said, what? And I said, yeah, Sarah and Ben Gibbard, they went to a monster truck rally together. She lived in Bremerton. And there's just like long pauses. And Lara goes, did she kiss him? I swear to Christ, that's exactly what she said.
Oh my God.
And I didn't really answer it. I just said,
you're so mean.
I just said, I don't know. It was that time and that place, honey. Who knows what happened?
Yeah, this was a sixth grade girl.
It's 503-733-2970. Let's see here. We were talking earlier about how crazy Sarah Dillon is in terms of her obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a thing that we all fall into here. We'll return to that later. I've just got a couple emails about it. When Sarah goes to Wendy's or such, and they only come in 5 or 9 pieces, I think he means McNuggets or Nuggets, what does Sarah Dillon do? That's a good question.
That doesn't bother me. It's mostly small. It's like M&M, Skittles, peanuts, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so it's sort of like a snacky food, not
yeah.
real.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when I'm making chicken nuggets at home, I like to, and I'm taking them and putting them on my plate. I like to have them even.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's do a special mini installment of the news with Tim Riley here, just so I can test out this Criswell sounder. And then we'll take a break and we'll come back with the new news hour proper. Let me just, ladies and gentlemen, and now.
I predict every able-bodied man in America will be asked to contribute to a sperm bank.
Tim Riley.
Oh, my stars, I don't know what to talk about. How about that Tanya Connor coming back on the job as Miss USA? Remember, Donald Trump forgave her after she went to rehab.
This is fantastic.
And she actually stayed in rehab for more than 2 weeks, which is going against the Hollywood grain. Usually now rehab is only 1 to 2 weeks. Well, anyway, She's 21-year-old. What's her name again? Tara Connor.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing a photo shoot to promote Donald Trump's $40 million planned catering facility in New York. I'm good, said she. I'm cold, but I'm fine.
I predict full medical attention by spending the
Trump, who also owns the Miss USA pageant, said Dawn's publicized press conference in December was about trying to let her keep her crown if she straightened up. We're trying to get Tara into the mainstream in a positive way. She thanked Trump for giving her a second chance, but avoided commenting on the feud between the billionaire developer and Rosie O'Donnell. I'm just trying to finish my lunch, said Connor. More news coming up in moments, right here on 970 AM Solid State Radio.
Fantastic. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. All right, 503-733-2970. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break here in a second. We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, CNN Radio correspondent.
I predict that the undersea volcanoes in the peaceful Pacific will result that the sea will become tidally hot. Yes, two carriers of our Western solution will board the sea and bubble up from 40 fathoms.
CNN Radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. Also, Lisa Goddard, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com coming up at 1:30, and the top five. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program.